My name is Will. I'm on the pastoral team here at North Star, and this morning I'd like to pick up a little bit of where I left off last week and pursue a little bit further this concept of the key to the peace of God. You know, here we are coming on the into the beginning of another whole year in front of us, and I don't know about you, but I am excited about this year. I'm excited about the things that God has for us this year. And I look forward to experiencing just more of Him, understanding more of who He is and what He desires for me as an individual, what He desires for us as a church body. This last week, I had occasion to travel down to Vancouver, and on Thursday night, early evening, I was on my way back. It was 5:30, 6-ish, something like that, and I'd come through Cache Creek, and as I was approaching the bottom of the big hill that comes up to, takes you up to Clinton, I was driving along, everything was great, and then all of a sudden, just at the bottom of that hill, there was fog, and I went into just an oblivion. There was, you could see nothing. I was having trouble seeing the front of my car, and my car's not very long. It's a little Honda, and suddenly there was nothing, and there was this immediate awareness that I'd seen the lights of a tractor trailer coming behind me, and for the last few kilometers, I'd passed a lot of traffic coming towards me. And although I know that the road is fairly wide there, I was fearful of either running into the back of someone because they had slowed down, or in fact being rear-ended by one of these vehicles whose lights I could see behind me. And I found myself just experiencing a wave of kind of fear and anxiety and uneasiness because of the situation that I suddenly found myself in. And yet, I'm so very thankful for the fact that we have a highways crew that paints a white line down the right side. And although there was snowpack on some of the lanes, I was able to catch little glimpses of that white line and kind of keep over there and keep at a speed that I knew that I wasn't going to get hit from behind. And I know as I came over the top and I could see the lights of Clinton ahead of me, it was interesting, just this sense of peace knowing that I'd been able to navigate this safely and that my worst fears didn't get realized as I first experienced it. Last week, we were talking about anxiety. We were talking about worry. And we were looking at the scripture found in Philippians chapter 4. And I'd like to start again by reading those scriptures this morning. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, I'd like to maybe take a couple of minutes and just kind of reflect back on some of what we considered this last week. The fact that there is this state of uneasiness, the state of anxiety that we can experience that usually starts out with fearing either something that is imagined or something that is real, and that this state of anxiety or uneasiness is something that virtually all of us will encounter at one time or another. It's so common. Jesus, in his teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, he told us not to worry about the cares of this world, what to eat, what to wear, what to drink, but that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us, who provides for us. And then through the scripture that we've just read, we looked at the fact that we looked at this aspect of anxiety, about prayer, about supplication, with thanksgiving, and then finally talking about the key to peace with God. We identified that when we're confronted with the cares of this world, we face a choice. We can either choose to worry and end up in a state of anxiety, or we can choose to pray and trust in God and experience a peace that passes all understanding. And we landed on the fact that really prayer is the key to peace with God. That prayer is the key to peace with God. This morning I'd like us to consider some other thoughts here. One is, what does being anxious say to us about our trust in God? A second one would be, how do I cast off anxiety? We find a lot of scriptures that talk about casting our burdens upon the Lord or casting off anxiety. And then thirdly, how do I then live within that peace of God? So that's kind of where I'd like to take us this morning. But first, let's just commit this time to the Lord. Father, we recognize this morning that as early as we are into this year, as we look ahead, that each one of us probably faces those things that would be cares and concerns, uncertainties in our lives or in the lives of those whom we love and are close to us. And Father, our prayer this morning is that we might ask you to just open our ears and open our eyes to what you would want to us to learn and to understand this day. Help us, Father, to receive what you would have for us this day, that we might go forth truly living in a place of peace. And so we commit this to you now and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, there's a really interesting account. We read of how Jesus, after he had been feeding the 5,000, he calls his disciples and says, okay, you take the boat, you go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee, and I'm going to take some time and go and pray up on the mountain. And so as we read through this passage, we see that the disciples go out across the lake. They're rowing across the lake. and there is a storm that comes up with huge waves and a violent, violent wind that threatens to sink the boat the disciples are in. And the disciples are afraid. Now, remembering that many of these guys are fishermen, it must have been quite the storm for them to be fearful. But as they're rowing across the lake, they see in the distance Jesus walking on the water. And they think it's a ghost, but it's not a ghost. And they call out to him. And Jesus begins to approach the boat. And then Peter, being Peter, he calls out to the Lord. And he says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. What I want to focus on here in this story from Scripture is the fact that here is Peter who invites the Lord to call him to get out of the boat and to do the impossible, to walk on the water. And Jesus says, "Come." And so here is Peter who steps out of the boat and begins to do the impossible. But it's while he's in the midst of doing the impossible that he's distracted suddenly by the wind and the waves. And it's at that point of distraction that he suddenly becomes fearful. He suddenly begins to doubt. And in his fear of sinking, he calls out to the Lord and says, "Lord, save me." Peter has gone from this state of faith where he was in the process of doing the impossible to this state of doubt where he was fearful of drowning. Now, something happened here. And as I was reflecting on this, it's that place where when he had his eyes on Jesus, he was able to do the impossible. But when he got distracted by the elements around him, it was at that point that he started to sink. And I wonder for you and I, how often we come to a place where we start out with every good intention, trusting God, but then we encounter distractions that cause us to take our eyes off the Lord onto the circumstances that we are facing. I believe that fear and anxiety begin to take hold when we fail to allow God to take priority in our lives, even in the small things. You see, when we forget and lose sight of who God is, that's when fear and worry is given a foothold. We forget, we've been singing this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." No, he is faithful. His word is filled with the promises. He is faithful to fulfill those promises. He is sovereign. He is in control. We know that's the case. God's word tells us He is a sovereign God. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is loving. He is just. There are so many of these things that are attributes of his character, of who God is. And when we focus on those things, then we can exercise our faith to do what God's calling us to do. Max Licato, in his study on this passage, makes a wonderful statement here. He said, "Your anxiety decreases as your understanding of the Father increases." It bears repeating. Your anxiety decreases as your understanding of the Father increases. So often what happens when we begin to face uncertainty and areas of concern in our lives, we forget who God is. There's a second area that I'm really conscious of, is that we forget who we are. In other words, our identity in Christ. I believe a key part of the answer to this is found in Romans chapter 8 and verses 15 and 16. Romans 8, 15 and 16. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Now the Living Bible says it a little differently, and it says, "And so we should not be cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling to him, Father, Father." You see, when we've surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus, when we've experienced his forgiveness and his cleansing, when the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within us, we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. That's our identity. That's who we are. We have a heavenly Father. That word Abba has been translated Daddy. There's a relationship between Father and child. So you could say, well, why is that important? Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes, more often than I would like to admit, my response is that of a cringing, fearful slave. My response too often is that I forget who I am as a son of the living God. And I forget that, and I express that in how I come to worship him, how I express my prayers to him, and what I expect of him through this relationship. And the Living Bible said, "And so we should not be cringing, fearful slaves, but we should behave like God's very own children." Like God's very own children. Notice that term fearful, because once I allow fear to enter the picture, I'm heading kind of, it's kind of like a staircase. First there's fear, and then comes worry, that I'm constantly thinking about those things I'm fearful of. And then comes a state, an ongoing state of anxiety and uneasiness. When I take my focus off the Lord and I begin to focus on all of the what-ifs that are possibly about to happen, then I end up in a state of anxiety. So part of the questions that I've got to come back and ask myself, and I would ask of you, do you believe that He is a sovereign God, that He is in control? Do you believe that the God, the Creator, the God of the universe, is all-powerful? Do we believe that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings? Do we believe that God cares for us? Because if we believe these things, then the prayers that we begin to offer are going to reflect that through the thanksgiving component of those prayers because of the relationship that we have with Him. So how do we go about casting off the cares that lead to anxiety? And there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. I think we have it on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We are invited not to carry those cares upon our own. We are not only invited, we're instructed, having humbled ourselves, to cast those cares on God, to give those things to Him, to verbally declare, "God, here's what I'm battling with. Here's how I'm feeling about this." And bring those things to Him and to say, "God, I know Your word speaks that I'm Your son. You care for me. You've told me You do not want me to worry. And so in obedience, what I'm doing is I'm simply coming and I'm laying these things back at Your feet and I'm asking You to deal with these things, to show me how You want me to respond. Show me what You want me to do in response to these things." The first step I find in casting off the fear, off those cares that do lead to anxiety is come back, refocus on prayer. Come back and express to the Lord precisely how it is that we are feeling and what it is we're dealing with. But there's a second thing, and it's actually found in the next couple of verses here of 1 Peter chapter 5. And it talks, after he says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And then he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking with whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." You see, sometimes we forget to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle, that there is an enemy of our souls. He seeks to get us distracted by fears and worries and anxieties so that we're focusing on those things and not focusing on Him and on how He wants to work and move in our lives and through our lives. We have an enemy, one of whose key reasons for existing is to distract us, to keep our attention off our Lord. This enemy, who I find, as I describe that, kind of the staircase that starts with fears, that become worries, that then go down another level to a place of a state of anxiety, that can then go further into a depression that just seems to grip and overwhelm. Now, I find that so often it starts because I listen to the lies of the enemy instead of recognizing and not going there, not even allowing my thought life to begin to dwell on the lies that the enemy would bring. So often, we can find ourselves in a place where we see ourselves as a victim, when in fact, as a son and daughter of the King of Kings, we are to be victors, not victims. So when uncertainty and the difficult circumstances cause us to fear and to become anxious, the encouragement is that we stop, that we begin to do what Paul said, but let our requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. We're to pray and bring our supplications to Him, our requests, with thanksgiving. And He will bring His peace. I jotted down that remember that as a son or daughter of the living God, that as well as having an enemy who would seek to distract us, who would seek to discourage us, we also have a protector, a shield, and we are encouraged. I know I find this for myself at times, just intentionally coming behind the shield that God is in my life. I don't have to be exposed to these attacks of the enemy. And then, not only do we have an enemy, but we've also been given, in the spiritual warfare that takes place, we've been given weapons. And it's not enough to know that we have an adversary who will do all in his power to sow into our minds seeds of doubt and despair. We need to know that we're also given weapons with which we can resist and defeat his efforts to tear us down. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, we read, "Finally, brethren, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." We have been given weapons to employ in the spiritual warfare that we encounter. It's when these attacks come, and they will in the course of this year, it's not enough to know that the armor of God exists, but there's a place for us to rise up and put on that armor and utilize the weapons that we've been given. So how do I then live within the peace of God that we've been talking about? The first and just the key thing is when we encounter the difficulties, the uncertainties, the unknowns that would cause us to fear and then to worry and then to become anxious. The encouragement is choose to pray. Choose to reject the anxiety by choosing to get on our knees and begin to thank the Lord for his goodness and his faithfulness in light of all that he has done in our lives to this point. Choose peace over anxiety. Choose to pray instead of worrying. The second thing is think about what you think about. That's a little caption. Again, Max Licato has written a book on this passage of scripture, and this caught my attention because it's so real to me in terms of where I allow my thoughts to go. And he makes this comment about think about what you think about. In this passage of scripture, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, then meditate on these things. These are the things to meditate on. You know, so many of those things we find in the character of God, in the promises of God, in his word. When I face times of uncertainty, there is a tendency for my thought life to just start going. When you get that medical diagnosis and it says this, but within moments your mind sees this. When you hear that there's been an accident and you don't have any details, immediately your mind begins to fill with all that is negative, all the fears and all of the unknowns. What Paul is saying here is we control our thoughts. You see, we may not be able to alter the problem, the diagnosis, or the bad news that we're facing, but we can control the thoughts we have towards it. And what Paul is saying here is, think about what you're thinking about. Keep your thoughts under control. And then where I'd like to close is just with the thought that we need to apply what we know to be true. Back in 1987, the sports company Nike was facing significant financial hardship, and they were really in having to lay off thousands of workers. They were in a spiral as a business. And they came up with a marketing plan that meant that they would focus their attention not on just the elite athletes, but they would widen that scope. And to do that, they had both an image and three words. Could anybody tell me what the three words from Nike say?
Just do it.
Just do it. You're right. Just do it. There's the swish that you can see on so much apparel, but then there's these three words, just do it. And what's been impressed on me is the need for me to take what I have learned and am learning on this topic and do what Nike says, just do it. Put it into practice. You see, in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4, Paul goes on to say, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And then the God of peace will be with you. In essence, what he was saying was, look at my life, look at the things I taught you, look at the things I shared with you. You saw it in my own life. Now, just do it. Just do it. And I think so often I find myself in a place where I'm not that quick off the mark. I allow myself to start fearing, and then I allow myself to get to that worry state, and I'm suddenly realizing there's uneasiness, I'm on edge, I'm starting to show that in how I relate to family and friends and coworkers. But I believe in this passage of Scripture from Philippians chapter 4, there are some really simple steps that God would give us to address this issue of anxiety and to allow us to experience as His children a peace that passes all understanding. And so as we're coming into a new year, we're in it, it's starting. We're only a week into it, but I can assure you, you may not be all that far along the path before you will encounter those things that are going to tempt you. First to be fearful, and then to start worrying, then to get anxious, to get distracted from what it is that God would have for you to be focusing on. So my encouragement is, let's not get distracted. Let's stay focused. Let's stay in that place of prayer. Let's stay as a people who are thankful for the faithfulness of our God. Let's just pray together. Father, we recognize, Lord, that Your word tells us we are Your children. And Father, sometimes the way we respond in situations indicates that we can be very, very young children. And yet, Father, for many of us, we've experienced the truth of Your word. We have experienced Your faithfulness to the promises of Your word. Father, our prayer this morning is, would You help us to stay alert to the things that please You, to be vigilant, to be aware when the evil one would be trying to distract us, to take us off down paths that are going to take our focus off of You. And help us, Father, through this year as we move through the next weeks and months, to be a people who exhibit the peace of God as our daily experience. Just a peace that passes all understanding. Father, we know we can't do it without you. We know we can't do it in our own strength. So, Father, we come humbly. We ask, have your way in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.